Now, go find the others.com.
All in all, this has been a tough week. But we've seen the character of our country once more. And as president, I'm confident that we have the courage and the resilience and the spirit to overcome these challenges and to go forward as one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you very much, everybody.
I'm Sasha Hurst, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
Before the Star Trek TV series began, Leonard Nimoy found his way to KPFK in Los Angeles in 1963 to direct Oscar Wilde's Salome for radio. How did it turn out? Check out the Pacifica Radio Archives from the vault Wednesday morning at 5.
Thought I'd change it up this morning.
If the love is true, oh babe. Ooh, don't you know how sweet and wonderful life can be? Ooh. I'm asking you,
All right, Kansas City. Good morning, good morning. I am Michael T. Justice, back for the final hour of the Paragon Radio Show. And you're listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And if you would like to join the conversation such as it is, please do so. Give me a call, 816-931-5534. That's 931-KKFI. And, yeah, there it is. So give me a shout, and we'll talk about whatever it is that is on your mind. We've been talking about a lot, not a lot of different stuff. We've been looking at the racial aspect of things earlier in the evening. I am curious to know how the, and apparently it's not on the front. Oh, yeah, there it is. Chaos marks the Ukraine vote on separation. So I guess that means we don't have a clear answer on what their vote was. I don't know. Just a lot of stuff was going on this week. So I was curious or interested or, I don't know, surprised or, you know, it was interesting to me just in passing. I heard that the guy who had come out earlier this year, Michael Sam, I can't remember if it's Sam or Sam's, but whatever, he was like chosen. I just thought it was kind of interesting because he was picked on the last day of the draft, and I don't know if where that fits with his level of play before his announcement, because it's not something that has like consumed my interest, but I thought I remembered him being higher, higher rated than that. Like, there was some thought that he would have been like a prime choice early in the draft, and that, you know, then he came out with, you know, with his announcement and everything. So it makes me kind of wonder, that's not the search bar. These internet webs are more difficult to deal with these days. Because I'm trying to search as I talk. Because I am interested in that part of it, is whether or not he was, like, expected to be, like, one of the first picked, and now he's, you know, picked on the last day. It means that it was definitely something that people had to, like, really weigh heavily as they made that choice. So, I don't know. It's just one of the things that was going on this week that I was thinking about. What else? I'm always waiting for you guys to keep going after the suicide to come on back and continue the conversation, because I don't know. I always hesitate to pontificate, although I always end up pontificating anyway, so I'll just do it. And just some stuff that I had been thinking about in relation to, I guess, our earlier conversation, since that's what I was thinking about when I was kind of jotting some of this stuff down, and just thinking that it seems like, as far as racism, like where we're supposed, not racism, I think that's part of the problem, is like we've got to, you know, the caller called earlier and was asking about, you know, why African-American, and, you know, there have been several changes to, you know, the name or whatever, the what you want to be called or what we call or how we identify people and how people choose to identify themselves. And I think it comes, like I said earlier, from a place ultimately of trying to be accepted, or a response to not being accepted as you are, and having different, you know, the context of the matter. you know, the context of where we are on this day. You know, I think it is absolutely important to look forward and to do the intentions that we talked about earlier, making your way forward. But it's, there are some, I think when I wrote this, I used some different labels that, and I don't much like labels because it immediately has a tendency to cause problems. So I'll just say that there are some who I wouldn't call racist, much like I'm not insectist, right? I don't have anything against insects just because I kill them just by walking around. You know, I don't take great care not to kill insects. I'm not against them. It's just if you get crushed, you get crushed, and that's kind of the deal, right? I mean, I don't go around turning over rocks looking for them to crush. But if I'm walking down the street, you know, down the sidewalk, I don't go, oh, my God, a bug, and let me step around it, over it, or nor do I, generally speaking, chase after them. Now, if I see one where it shouldn't be, in my house, in my environment, making my environment too uncomfortable, sure. But it doesn't consume me. And that's probably, you know, if an individual who's black, and I jotted some of this down using the modern technology, and you write, or you can speak, and the stuff doesn't always type exactly what you wrote, so, or what you were intending. But if an individual who's black does all the things to pull themselves up by the bootstraps, they just might make it. They just might make it. But it doesn't address, and I guess we have to wonder if it even needs to be addressed, the context of racism in this country. It's as if, and this is, I guess, where where you start getting, at least for me, like I was called emotional about it earlier. And I think what causes that for me is that there is something to the issue of respect that we were talking about earlier, because it does weigh upon you. Right, you can't just set that stuff aside and go like, well, like I said, you can pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You might just make it. But it is the lack of an understanding, or maybe an acceptance, that there are that there is an experience that people have in this country that is not, like, I'm not denying that some black people hate white people, or that some black people might decide, and I will not pull back from calling it racist if some black guy decides he wants to go around and shoot white people, like, specifically. I'm not going to go down that road of, like, that's not racist. That is something. And if we want to come up with different terminology and subcategories, that's okay, because that's what words are for. That's what we do with language. We don't just say blue. I mean, you can just say blue, and we have a general idea of what you're talking about. But there's something different between, I'm going to try and do this, periwinkle and cornflower. Ladies, help me out here. Right? There's a difference. There's some subtlety. It's still blue, but royal blue, midnight blue, aquatic infusion. I mean, there are differences and subtleties. So I'm okay with some different classification, but if we're going to call it what it is, it's racist. Right? Everybody can be racist. But we've got to acknowledge the context of the history and the effects of that history. And it's not an easy task, because when I think about it like this, right, when I stop and I think about how do you address the fact that there are people who come here from all these other cultures and see, like Ben was talking about earlier this evening, this morning, about there are people who come with from all these cultures and they see nothing but opportunity and chances. And it's not always the whole family. There are those things where people get together and the whole family chips in and does all that stuff, and that is definitely there. But there are a great many people who come here and they work hard and save and do without and make do to get ahead. And their level of hard work, and they do it in the face of even great disrespect. Right? I mean, no, you can't pretend like, you know, okay, well, black people got it tough in this country, and then go like, well, yeah, but those illegal immigrants, they got it easy. Because people are treating them the same kind of way. A lot of very similar things. But there's a context to their history. See, they came from some place where there wasn't, and this is that expectation from government or whatever, where there wasn't an expectation of respect, even. Right? I mean, just for the myriad of reasons. But when you stop and consider what makes somebody do all the things, we've talked about this before on this show about illegal immigration and people, the great dangers that they put themselves through. We talk about the gun violence, and you talk about how many, I forget where the county was, but somewhere down in Arizona where they had, like, they pull like 100 bodies a year. Every 3 days you're pulling a body, 3 or 4 days a year, you're pulling a body out of the desert. And if you calculate those kinds of numbers on the number of people coming through that are just dropping dead to get to here, to get to wash your dishes, cut your lawn, be looked at and talked about and treated the way they're treated, but they do it. There's a context, right, that they, where they're coming from is so uncomfortable that it's willing, that they're willing to do that. And people born and raised here in this, I don't know if you want to call it a socialist society, but certainly it appears the rain is starting to fall, at least here in Midtown. But certainly there are people who get, I won't say comfortable, but they get accepting of the conditions, right? They get accepting of the fact, you know, that's just the way it is. We're just going to be, we don't have an opportunity over there. And so you know, when you start talking about people being accept, you know, I'm always like kind of measuring my words because I don't want to be guilty of, you know, playing into stereotypes or whatever. But, you know, there's certain folks that do get caught up in the whole notion of like, well, I can get, you know, an unemployment check, or I can get some kind of social assistance check, and then kind of hustle up the rest, and that's the existence that they're acclimated to, right? They just, that becomes the way that they kind of, that's just there. And I'm not trying to point fingers and blame. I'm saying that some of the side effects of the assistance, you know, of the corrections are negative, right? We can look back at the kind, and this is where, again, you get back into the whole notion of like looking at your contention or your intentions, right? What is it that we are intending to do? And we're at cross purposes. And this is why I think we have to, and I guess why I get emotional about it, right, is because it's like you have to acknowledge that this didn't just happen, right? That there was, you know, even if there was a stronger economic community within the black community, because Miss Garrett's record store was there and there were other businesses and there was a shoe store and there was this and there was hotels and there were all of these things, a whole little separate community there, because you weren't allowed in that other community, that was still the problem. Now, the overcorrection or the over deal was that, and that's within the community, right? Is it that, like I said, when I grew up in the 70s and 80s and I watched all of that stuff happening, I wasn't really paying attention to it that much, just knowing that, well, I used to go here to get this stuff. Now I got to go over town to get it. And then you go over there to get your records and you find out that, man, they got all kinds. There's a wide variety of shops and stuff over here. And you start doing your thing, and the next thing you know, you're 47 years old and you don't live in the community anymore. You live over here because that's where the stuff is you want. You know, but to go back to, like, how do you fix it or what do you do? I mean, you know, we've talked about this for so long. And I think Ben's got the nail on the head that it ain't going to be from the people who, you know, are elected representatives, because they're going to be going not so much by what will benefit the community as what will benefit their benefactors. Their benefactors are their, not just the money people, definitely and mostly the money people, but also the people that can hand them votes. This is where you end up with some of the incestuous political machinery that occurs within the communities, right? Where you get like parents and grandparents of politicians. And it's not unique to the black community, but it always kills me when we have these generational politicians. You know, when you're running for office because your dad held the office, I guess you never say that's why you're doing it. But if this society can't produce some variety, some diversity, in its leadership, there's a problem. And that's not a black thing. That's a there's a problem. If the best we can come up with, or if what we come up with, not the best we can come up with, but if what we come up with is Clinton Bush, if what we come up with is, I think the governor that's running against, I'm pretty sure this is another one of these, my father was a governor, and, you know, that's running against Brownback. Not saying that Brownback needs to go as far as I'm concerned, but what are you going to do? Why is it that we keep coming up with the same names? And it's because it's got to be, right? Because there's a problem in the system. Like if you kept putting something into a computer and you kept coming up with the same answers, well, that's not, that analogy is not going to work. But if you keep coming up with the same set of folks, I mean, there's nobody else besides the Lavotas and the, now I'm having trouble. It always bugs me when I'm like sitting here with a microphone in my face and I can't remember all these names that I see over and over and over again. And we know, you know, and it's always, right? The Udalls in Utah, the Kennedys. Surely this society is capable. You know, we've got to, much like Martin Luther King held the ideal in front of this country and said, this ain't real. I'm letting you know right here, right now, that it ain't real. This whole thing where you say, like, this is the society that we live in. I'm showing you that it's not really like that. There are people being, there are people being water hosed just so they can go to school or whatever. That was the strength in what Martin Luther King did, that and not responding with violence to violence. But we need to be shown or make sure. I mean, we need to see that there's a problem here. When you have this continual recycling of people because it means that it's all coming from the same place, and it's the embryonic stages of, and maybe we're beyond that, right? But it's those beginning stages of principalities, man. When you get it because your dad had it, I'm a nobleman. We almost accept that. We go like, well, you know, his dad was and he is, and he'll come along after his dad. And we keep having the same folks running things, and we keep looking for the same folks to come up with something different, and it's always the same thing. And so maybe it is best just to shrug, as Ayn Rand said. You know what I mean? Just like, I'm not going to be involved in it. Just do your thing. Not withdraw completely from society. But to not play the government game. To just say, okay, I'm just going to do what needs to be done. And I know that's the hard part, because I'll think of things that would be great to have, and it's like, man. But how do you build that organically in a capitalist society where, you know, what we really could use, you know, I've talked before about, you know, especially within the inner city in any impoverished community, not just black communities, but any place where you have, like, the quote-unquote digital divide. There we have learning centers so people can come in and learn how to use the computer and what to do with it and whatnot. You know, how would you, when you have a large, because here, look, I got a computer at Christmas time for like under $300. Ben was talking about Google's giving away the internet. So if you can get a computer for cheap, and you can get the internet for free, cheap, then you have some powerful tools within your home. But I guess the question then becomes, how do you get people to stop looking at a bunch of YouTube videos on Gangnam Style or whatever it's called? And I know that's so last year, but I don't know what the one is this year. But how do you get from spending that time frame to like learning about stuff? And there are people who are doing it. And I guess that's the bright side, is that there's a lot of people nowhere near is what needs to be the case. Like, everyone should be, like, we should be a better informed society because we have no excuse. You can mix up your whatever it is you're doing on your internet, whether it's watching cat videos or rap videos, or I saw some dude in the hotel last year using the computer. I was waiting to get in to do some stuff that I needed to do, and they're in there watching dirt bike videos. There's all kinds of stuff people can do. So mix it up a little bit. Learn something. Learn some history. Learn some science. Learn how things work. So there's people out there doing it. I guess we just got to spread it. Spread the notion that you can learn something, that every minute doesn't have to be full of bubble gum and mindlessness. I can't really foresee the instance where I would spend any amount of time watching cat videos. But if that's your thing, go for it. Just trim it back enough to throw in a little something on the expanding universe or the expanding planet or why the expanding planet is a hoax of an idea or how the theory of gravity works or how, what's the history of your community? What is the context of your little city or your state? There are so many things that we need to know. That we've got to start trying to put it in our heads. I think it's critical. And I guess I'm rambling, so I'll just take the phone call. KKFI, you're on the air. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
You know, it's Big Dog, and it is pouring out here.
I know. I hear it. At first, I thought there was a guy on a skateboard rolling down the street. Because those things echo throughout the deal.
Yeah. You know, you touched on something about science, and you start talking about the expanding Earth. Are you buying into the expanding Earth?
I'm not buying into anything. I'm saying that you can use your time to learn about it, or, as I immediately said, why the expanding Earth is a hoax. But
looking into it to figure it out on your own. I agree with you on that.
Doing something besides finding out who Miranda Lambert's dating this week.
Right.
And that's what far too many folks do and know.
Right. So when you brought that up, because see, I've been waiting for Jake to come back.
Right, because you feel like that, you know, that was part of the suicide a few weeks ago, and I saw some of that little video. What are your thoughts on it? Are you?
Oh, I'm ready for Jake the Fake to come back, man.
Well, I'm not talking about an argument. I'm talking about what are your thoughts on it. Your thoughts are not relying upon Jake being here, are they? Or is it only that you have a...
Well, since I was referred to as stupid people, and then Jake chimes in and says, oh, you mean Christians, I felt kind of slighted there, but...
Okay, so do you want to have that fight, or do you want to talk about the subject?
Go ahead.
Do you want to have a fight with him, or do you want to talk about the subject?
Well, we could talk about the subject if you'd like. Are you informed on the subject?
Like I said, I watched a little bit of the video. You are obviously more informed because you were wanting
to... I'm chomping
to...
at the bit.
Right. So what is it you found that's counter to whatever?
Okay, well, a lot of people do not understand the scientific method of study. Okay, and... I'm pretty sure you do, because Mike from Fairway has been covered it many times. And the one key thing about the expanding Earth, it's a theory. It's never been hypothesized because it never passed peer review. It's a theory that's over 100 years old. And I have a passion for archaeology because my great uncle was an archaeologist.
Okay, but
So when I asked him if he had any scientific evidence that proves this expanding Earth theory, he came with none. Okay, and I got a little upset because I asked a serious question. It was like, it didn't matter to him. The expanding Earth theory is what it is. So I hung up. And I've been waiting now for a couple weeks, 3 weeks now, I actually researched it through academia, through these people that have, you know, bachelors in geology and science and this, that, and the other thing. And there's one thing that's missing in the expanding Earth theory that is not missing in the plate tectonics theory. And they both, by the way, are theories, but one has been proven to be, that has taken the next step with this to a hypothesis, because they found a mechanism. Okay, one of the things that you need to understand about science, there has to be a mechanism in which this is being produced. And the plate tectonics theory has been observed, has been measured, and has been studied to actually, and at the very end, and I'll bring this, I'm trying to wrap this up as fast as possible, that this guy that wrote a thesis on it, on both the theories, has said that maybe it's a combination of both. But the only problem is, neither one could be observed. Because, Michael T., I don't know about you, but I don't want to get 5 seconds from the Earth's mantle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And the power that it would take, according to the professionals in this area of expertise, says that in order for the expanding Earth theory, to reach a hypothesis, it has to have a mechanism, and there is no mechanism, nor is there an observable empirical evidence. The only evidence that supports the plate tectonic theory is in subduction zones where they have been measured and actually core drilled and whatnot. And all this stuff has come to light. The very last empirical evidence study was in 2001 by a guy named, I know his last name was Morse. I can't remember his first name. But it shows that the plate tectonic theory is more applicable to what's going on, applicable to what's going on with the Earth. And then one of the most interesting things about this whole deal is the, I wrote it down, the second law of thermodynamics does not fit into the expanding Earth theory according to these professionals.
Conservation of energy?
And
that's the conservation of energy?
No, yeah. I don't have the definition
law
written down, Mike, so I didn't.
All right. No, that's all good,
but,
man.
But the plate tectonics mechanism is radioactive decay and gravitational pressure. That's why it can reach a thesis. But, and then, by the way, if you watch one video, you can watch another one. It's called Expanding Earth My Ass.
Okay.
It's a YouTube video, and it covers the guy, Neil Adams, who was doing the speech that you probably will listen to. And in that, he said, Neil Adams, the guy that's supporting this expanding Earth theory, even said, we don't know what the sun is made of. But yet, somehow, particles from the sun end up here on the Earth, and at 1 inch per 10,000 years, this accretion happens.
Say again,
which means,
1 inch every 10,000 years, what happens?
1 inch of accumulation of, I guess you can call it, space dust on the Earth from on the outside. In expanding Earth theory, if it was to expand to where it is now, when it was smaller, and according to the diagram, you know, the guy says, well, we didn't make no adjustments to any land masses, and as the Earth, they showed the expanding Earth expanding, it shows Alaska doing this loop-de-loop type trail, which it looked like it got contorted. But the point being is that this stuff is easily already available on the Internet. And I remember Jake saying, you know, just because you haven't seen it or read it, Big Dog, doesn't mean it's out there. Well, no, the question was, what scientific evidence do you have that supports expanding Earth theory? And there is none. That's why it's considered just a theory. It hasn't been hypothesized because there's nothing observable, nor has there been any beginning mechanism in place.
Right, but you would agree that it takes time for people to get off of one trail and onto another, right? So, like, if people are not buying what he's talking about, they're not even going to be looking at it all that deeply. I mean, I don't know how solid this, you know, to me it was a cute little video. I mean, everybody can see that these land masses look like they kind of fit together. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it's not there was another paper that talked about that exact thing that you're talking about. And if you extend the, if you look at the coastlines and how they extend out, because once you get out past about 100 miles, the oceans begin to drop off tremendously in depth, okay? Like, huge. And if you
right.
follow the coastline 100 miles out, there's no way that these rifts in the Earth's, I guess you would call it surface or ocean floor, line up in such a manner that they say lines up. And that was brought out by another piece from another geologist who observes and commented on the expanding Earth theory.
Okay.
So I'm not a professional, but I do have a passion for it. I was aware of the expanding Earth theory, and I was also aware of plate tectonics. I just sided with the plate tectonics because there's more observable evidence than compared to and believe me, they're both theories. I'm not saying one's rule of law over the other, because it's never been provable. because you have to be able to observe it, and it has to repeat itself over and over again to become a scientific fact.
Well, you know, all of this stuff, man, we're talking about is on such a, first off, on such a grand scale and over such a time period that would be very hard to get the context of. So I don't even know that there have been enough. You say that, you know, if you go 100 miles out and you see what the coastline is, I'll look that up at some point if I can get a moment.
I guess maybe, well, I gave you another video to compare, because I watched them all because, you know, I felt challenged. So right. I figured, well, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and get right down to the nitty-gritty on this, and I watched them all. And I told you which one you could watch to kind of, it goes against what, probably the one that you did watch with Neil Adams.
Yeah, so, I took, I mean, about 5 minutes to watch part of the video.
You can do your own work on it, but they're both theories. They're both not scientific law or fact, right. Because that doesn't meet the scientific method of study of observance and repeatable.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that gets put in the suicide that is there, I think, to show the variety of thought that's out there on a number of issues, to show the, I don't know, I think you run a risk of taking every segment of a suicide too literally. Yeah, you know what I mean?
I didn't take this from a suicide. This came directly from Jake's mouth on the air.
Okay.
It was the night that you were not there.
Okay.
What's up? Okay, this came directly from Jake's mouth. And what bothers me about it all, you know, I had somewhat of a respect for his, the way he expresses himself, okay? I don't anymore. Because the bottom line of it is, if you're going to put that stuff out there like that, don't act like it's not, that it's a proven fact. It's not. And that's what he was coming off of. And when I asked for scientific evidence, he had none. That told me right then and there that all it was what it has been thought of all along since 1888, was a theory.
Okay.
You know, and that was just
evolution's a theory.
It got my goat. It got my goat. No, actually, you know what messed up about the whole thing? This expanding Earth theory. I went to a few websites, and every one of those websites that were not science related, blogospheres or whatever you want to call it, tied in the expanding Earth theory to global warming. That's interesting to me.
Like as a reason why we have global warming? So everybody quit worrying about it? We're going to expand and you won't even need to worry about the global warming?
The expanding Earth theory is part of the global warming experience that we're having. Okay,
what,
so which
like,
now
like the world
completely
is
falls into the face of the scientists who were saying that it was man-made global warming. I'm just saying. I mean, the expanding Earth theory, if you do some extra research on it, you'll find out that the expanding Earth theory at its genesis would take the power of a cold star to start. And there's no observable evidence of that. Imagine
that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Like I said, when you start talking about this stuff, it's... You know, I'm all for it because I was just saying, you know, educate yourself on these things and look into this stuff and see what, you know.
Yeah, if you don't have a passion for the geological, archaeological sense of it all, it's not going to interest you. You know what I mean?
I mean, it's hard to get
people interested in that type of study because there's not a lot of people interested in rock.
Well,
you know?
And I don't want to come off like a Luddite or like somebody that just is, you know, a Neanderthal or whatever. I don't want to come across even as anti-intellectual, but like there's a point at the Big Bang where I'm just like, okay, so you're just kind of saying that it happened from here, but you don't really have an explanation. And I'm all for saying, you know, you can't prove God did it in 7 days, and I'm all for proving or saying that you can't even say that what they're saying is contradictory to, well, I guess you can if you're a literalist on the Bible thing too, but I mean, I don't know. All of it is it's worthy of study, but the bigger thing for me is how we interact on a socio-political economic way. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, I get it, but a lot of the social aspects of relation to the community and science has a lot to do with community and science, because we all live in the same world, and according to what expanding Earth theory out there, that we're expecting to expand even more. But the point being is, it's according to what they've estimated as far as space dust, if you will, collecting here on Earth from meteors and whatever, for the Earth to be the size it is now, and the study of the rocks involved, it would take literally day in, day out of meteor showers for the Earth to grow to the point of where they're talking about, just on the outside, not from the inside. So there's a big...
But I'm pretty sure I remember Jake saying something to the effect of, like popcorn, it's one state and then it, boom, expands. Now, what happens internally to create that, I don't know, because I can't tell you how the popcorn does it.
And that's why I mentioned the fact that the genesis of it all would take the power of a cold star, which was completely unobservable. And for scientists to say that, they don't even know what the strength of a... They only know the strength of our solar sun, which is, I guess you would call, a hot star. I'm not a geologist, but I do have an interest in it in relation to my family. So there's somewhat of a small passion there for it, and I do understand some of the stuff. I don't understand it all. I mean, the geochemical makeup of it all, according to several professionals, and I don't know what geochemical makeup means, but the point is, it supports the plate tectonic theory over the expanding Earth theory, which, by the way, was observable, therefore can be introduced as evidence.
Well, it sounds like that would just be the chemical traces that are in the Earth, kind of like, you know, core samples would give you, you know, of ice. You know, you would.
Well, yeah, that's how they obtained these. Some of this information was through core samples
of the Earth, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah, it's a big thing. But see, when I ask politely for some scientific evidence to help support, you know, to make,
right.
Maybe because I was interesting to do a little more research, so
right.
I was trying to
and
dig.
You don't like the answer that you got, and that's between you and Jake, and I can't.
Exactly.
You know, I can't. Okay, I'm sorry on his behalf, or I'm sorry on my behalf for you. On behalf of KKFI, I apologize to you that Jake didn't answer the question. I don't know.
I'm trying to have a conversation with the guy about it.
Yeah, but have a conversation with me now and have that
decent,
conversation with him later.
Have a conversation about it.
Hello, hold on, Big Dog. I understand your complaint. Yes. You've stated it like two or four times now in the last 20 minutes.
But sometimes it takes five times for people to actually hear.
No, no, I've heard you all along. You're not hearing me.
No, you're listening.
No,
you got to hear, Jimmy.
You're not hearing me. You're not hearing me. Have a conversation with me about what we're talking about, not about what Jake said to you. What do you want me to do
about
that? I
got it. Now you're repeating yourself 10 times, you know?
Okay. So, all right, buddy. Well, I'm going to get ready for the last minute and a half of the show.
Right on, man.
All right.
All right, nice talking to you, bro.
All right, now. Yeah. So, where are we at there, Kansas City? I'm pulling up the shows that we will have for you. And I guess what I'll do is let you know what's coming up is the win. And then, which is Workers of Independent News, and then we'll, why do people do this to me? If you would call when the show's over, I'll be happy to take you. What's your name? What part of town are you calling from?
My name is David, and I'm calling from 27th Paseo.
All right, what's happening? What's on your mind?
I just wanted to say thank you guys for being there.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, we appreciate you, those the others, if you will.
Cool.
Yep.
Right on, that's solid, man.
Okay, man. Well, hopefully I'll catch you earlier next weekend.
Yes, we're here midnight to 5 pretty much every Monday morning, Sunday night, Monday morning.
Gotcha, man.
Have a good one now.
You as well.
All righty. All right, Kansas City, that's a very nice way to end it. Kind of feel like Mother's Day. You know, my wife got some flowers, or not some flowers. She got a little card that was a handmade flower. It really made her heart feel good, even though it was just a small little thing from my son. And I feel like that for little comments like that. They just make you feel like, well, you know, sometimes I feel like a rambling idiot. And other times I feel like, man, I did something. Now I feel like I did something, so thank you. We're coming up with Explorations, which to my mind is a great show. I enjoyed going and seeing Dr. Kaku. And then, of course, Storm and Norman will be in here to bring you your Monday morning buzz. The Beautician Blues is coming up after Democracy Now! And The Jaws of Justice, which will be after Storm and Norman. Should give it all to you in order, right? But that's not the way I do it. I'm dyslexic. Temporally dyslexic. That's what I have. Temporal dyslexia. Good night, Kansas City. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Before the Star Trek TV series began, Leonard Nimoy found his way to KPFK in Los Angeles in 1963 to direct Oscar Wilde's Salome for radio. How did it turn out? Check out the Pacifica Radio Archives from the vault Wednesday morning.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News, a production of Diversified Media Enterprises. I'm Doug Cunningham. As Congress eyes cuts allowing more privatization, John Hegarty has a different vision for the U.S. Postal Service, a vision that preserves tens of thousands of good middle-class jobs and protects the unique U.S. Postal Service nationwide delivery network. Postal unions just showed the power of that Postal Service network and what it can do with their food drive this past Saturday. Hegarty is president of the National Postal Mail Handlers Union. He says Congress holds the power to get a $5.5 billion annual retiree health care pre-funding burden off the Postal Service's back. If that happened and the Postal Service were allowed to take on new deliveries, America's postal services could remain intact.
We need to protect this valuable institution for the people that rely on it, the American people. Some not-so-friendly members of Congress are looking to privatize the Postal Service or otherwise drive it out of business so that, you know, the big corporate interests can come in and skim off the profitable parts of the Postal Service and kind of leave everybody else to fend for themselves. Unfortunately, we can't get a bipartisan bill that just helps the Postal Service. There are other things that attack postal employees that would cost close to 100,000 jobs, good middle-class jobs, and so it's been a rough slog kind of to get it through Congress.
As fast food workers prepare for strikes in 150 cities this Friday, the founder and CEO of Subway says hiking the minimum wouldn't be such a bad thing for his stores and his workers. Fred DeLuca also says the minimum wage should be indexed to inflation so workers get automatic cost of living adjustments in the minimum wage. Today's federal minimum wage, adjusted for inflation, is worth 20% less than it was in the late 60s. Despite the Subway CEO's support for a higher minimum wage tied to inflation, Subway leads the fast food industry in wage theft violations. DeLuca says he's working to correct that and blamed it on some Subway franchise owners not doing the right thing. The Chicago Teachers Union has made its opposition to public education Common Core standards official. The union passed a resolution opposing Common Core because the standards disrupt student learning and consume tremendous amounts of time and resources for test preparation and administration. CTU plans to lobby state government in Illinois to eliminate the use of Common Core for teaching and assessment. CTU President Karen Lewis says Common Core eliminates creativity in the classroom and contributes to racial discrimination and the achievement gap among students in public schools.